Welcome to this edition of the Virginia Bioscience Podcast. This edition features a presentation by Eric Edwards, co-founder and chief scientific officer of Intellijecht LLC. The program was recorded on December 17, 2009 at the Virginia Bioscience Business Roundtable in Richmond. The event, sponsored by the Virginia Biotechnology Association and numerous national and statewide partners, was focused on the latest developments in the Virginia bioscience industry. Intellijecht LLC, based in Richmond, recently won a $230 million exclusive licensing deal with Sanofi Aventis U.S. for a novel epinephrine autoinjector. Under the license, Sanofi Aventis U.S. shall be responsible for manufacturing commercialization. The program lasts approximately 10 minutes. For more information about the biosciences in Virginia, please visit us on the web at www.vabio.org.
Thank you. So I know you all see four people here, and it's the afternoon lull, and you're thinking, how long is this going to last? So I'm going to try to fly through this in about 5 minutes. And basically, there's really three things that I wanted to go over here, and I thought that would be important. The first is, so how do you go from a napkin idea to a fully integrated specialty pharmaceutical development company? What specific state-specific resources were available to us, and what were the challenges associated with that? And then finally, what can we do in the future in order to try to build more Virginia-based success stories right here? And so I thought that those are really the main things here that we need to talk about. And I come to this panel from a very different perspective. I'm a founder and an entrepreneur, but I'm also a patient. And that sort of leads into the impetus of this company. And I won't spend too much time on it, just to provide an overview. Basically, we were founded in 2001, really incorporated in 2004. We are a Richmond-based company. It's a very different story. My identical twin brother. Both of them are pretty good looking. I won't tell you which one's myself. But my identical twin brother and I, when we were born, we had severe allergies, and by the time we were 3 years of age, we were labeled some of the most allergic children our physician had ever encountered. So we grew up allergic to all eggs, all seafood, all nuts, most antibiotics. We were also chronic allergic asthmatics. And with all of these allergies, they were very severe and life-threatening. So if we were to have, for example, a peanut accidentally, within minutes we'd go into a full-fledged IgE-mediated anaphylactic reaction, and we could die within about 3 minutes. In fact, I had a near-fatal reaction this past May. And so we struggled in this disease that is a life-threatening disease, and we had to carry an epinephrine autoinjector. It is a shot of adrenaline. In a device, looks a bit like this size, and we had to carry that with us everywhere. And every time we didn't have it, another gray hair popped up on our parents' head, and there were a lot of challenges associated with that. So we were heading abroad in the summer of '98, and we had forgotten our epinephrine auto injector. And as a result, a huge discussion ensued in the car about, gosh, why have they made these things so big, and couldn't you guys do better? Now, at the time, my brother Evan was heading down an engineering path at the University of Virginia, and I was heading down a path in clinical medicine. I wanted to be a physician scientist down here at Virginia Commonwealth University. And we decided that as patients that we would try to build something better. It was very complementary with his engineering background and me trying to go down the medicine path. And so I remember we were looking at university bulletins and trying to decide what class can we take to try to build something better. So he would take invention and design while I would take medicinal chemistry. And we applied for a National Collegiate Inventors Grant and were blessed, and we won this $14,000 grant that afforded us a patent that is absolutely worthless today. But as a result of that, we were able to be introduced, and we had some early validation that this concept of creating a patient-centric new device by patients for patients could have some legs. And so we went on a quest to go reach out to hundreds and thousands of people who were affected by this condition, school nurses, parents of food allergic children. We didn't just rely on what we thought the inherent problems of the technology was with this EpiPen device. We looked at others and decided to create a company that has extremely bold vision here. And so we are trying to revolutionize healthcare by empowering patients to gain control of their medical conditions. And this leads us into people, but before I want to talk about that, you might say, so how do you go from $14,000 to in a grant to actually get the funding here in Virginia to build a company? It was a huge challenge. And the first challenge I'll say, and I'll say this to legislators very clearly, every second you spend on the road going to try to find private money or dollars to support your pharma company is one second taken away from building the company and actually being able to commit to create a life-saving technology. And it's one of the biggest struggles I think small companies face is having to commit so many resources and so much bandwidth to raising capital time and time again versus just getting on with it, building the company, trying to innovate, getting more patents, protecting your technology, and then showing that you can actually build something that's clinically meaningful. So there was no major seed funds to go after here that the state provided. There were no really incentives for VCs to invest in a life science company in Virginia. And this is as compared to our neighbors who are right below and right above us that had enacted major incentives. In fact, it's interesting. There's no real incentive why we should have stayed in Richmond at all, except for the fact that we were born here. We love the place. I think once you get people here, people say, you know, wow, Virginia is a place that has a lot to offer. You see, we're close to the FDA. We're close to the research hubs. And so I think that's the challenge of attracting talent. And that leads us to the next thing. So how do you then get people who have the experience? We were young, very passionate, but extremely ignorant and inexperienced individuals trying to build a pharmaceutical company. We realized very early on from the FDA we were going to go have to raise tens of millions of dollars to bring an epinephrine delivery system through the market. And so how do you do that? Well, it starts at the top. So we went and found and were blessed to find a great CEO. Now, that CEO had experience at Lilly and Guidant, and he's here today, Spencer Williamson. But I'll tell you, along the route, we interviewed several CEOs, and we kept hearing the same story over and over. You can move your company to California. That'd be great. Come down to North Carolina. Move your company to North Carolina. That'd be good. I'll come from California, but you got to fly me every single week. No talent wanted to relocate here because there's not incentives to really bring other management here, where there's not a lot of incentives really to go get capital in this state, and that was the more important issue. We found a guy, Spencer, who just happened again to be born and raised in Richmond, Virginia, and he had family here, and he was willing to take a chance on that. I do not suggest that as a legislative strategy for trying to build life science companies. Don't rely on did they grow up in Virginia to build a bioscience company. We got to build the incentives to do so. So when Spencer came on board, he did have that network from spending 14, more than that, almost 20 years in the life science industry on both the medical device and the pharmaceutical side. And he had a network of individuals where we were able to go raise venture capital and a network of private capital networks. And then we were able to raise the money to get there, to get where we needed to be. So, you know, what did we do? And what are we building at Intellijet? So I've talked about anaphylaxis. This is a woman, normal, and then on a really bad day. And treatment is for epinephrine. I'm not going to go into all these details because of for the sake of time, but basically you have this single delivery system that was built in the 70s for NASA astronauts, and we thought we could do better. And we kept hearing the same concerns over around portability, safety, ease of use. And so what we did is we created a credit card size auto-injector that has a fully retractable needle. It's very small, portable, and safe. And then we layered on top of it an electronic compliance system. So just like an AED, when you remove it out of its case, it talks a patient through self-administration. It will count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, call 911, and that's what it looks like. And we took it the next step and said, you can't just focus on one product. And we built an entire group of platforms and intellectual property to support that. Because you've heard a lot about the biotech industry today and biosimilars, and you've heard a lot about drugs. Well, one thing that's common among biotech drugs is a lot of these are not orally bioavailable. A lot of these are injectable products. In fact, one step further, a lot of these are for self-administration in the home environment. So it started with insulin being daily administered. Now you have a lot of these drugs that are administered once every other week, once a month. There's some coming out that are once every 6 months. And all of these things have one thing in common, and that is, it doesn't matter how good the drug is in the body if the patient doesn't actually get that drug into the body successfully. So we work on pharmaceutical devices that will improve compliance and adherence and increase that likelihood that at the moment of truth, that patient will get their dose of the drug. So that is what we're building here at IntelliJect. It has implications in therapeutic areas such as diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, vaccines. And as you saw, one product, epinephrine, in an auto-injector, for two territories, Canada and the United States of America, with Sanofi Aventis, so it's one of the world's largest pharmaceutical companies, we were able to do a license for over $200 million and double-digit royalties. So there's a huge amount of potential here in this biotech space. We just got to figure out, how do we get that message communicated to, one, the constituents to put pressure on the legislators, and two, the legislators to allow them to look at this a little more closely for saying, gosh, is it worth taking that short-term pain to put the financial incentives in place and to build this biotech hub here in the Commonwealth of Virginia in exchange for the long-term gain and the potential that can be both on an economic perspective and having Virginia be seen as one of the life science leaders bringing innovative medicines to patients. Thanks.
Thank you for downloading the podcast of the Virginia Biotechnology Association. For more information, please visit us at www.vabio.org.